He's back. I have talked about this before on the podcast, but integrating tax planning into my business changed everything. I think when we started collecting tax returns, plugging them into the tax software that we used, doing analysis, looking for areas of opportunity for our clients, this is when we really, really separated ourselves from other advisors in our area. When we got really good at this, this is really when we started to stand out from our competitors. I felt so good about the planning that we were doing and how much value we were adding to our clients. And I know that's something we all struggle with, right? Is we look around and go, oh my gosh, everybody's adding so much more value than we are. But this is something I can remember feeling so, so good about. Demystifying taxes, saving clients money, being thoughtful about their future tax situation. It was all adding so, so, so much value to our planning services. But there's a catch though, right? I didn't always know what to do with the tax return when I got them, especially those, you know, ones where it's just super simple. It's two W-2 employees and not a lot of things going on. And it took me forever to build up my tax acumen and really create a process around tax return analysis to really like bake it into the DNA of the practice. So today, Stephen Jarvis of Retirement Tax Services is back. Yep, you remember him from episode number 40. He is going to talk with us today about how you can help your clients not get killed on taxes. And do you know about the Augusta rule for tax-free income? Well, if you don't, you will now. Are you ready to increase your tax return knowledge so that you can deliver even more value to your clients? If so, this is the episode for you. Look, I know you're here because you know it's possible to have energy left over for your family and still have your dream business. You know, the business that you are running instead of it running you. If you're new to The Efficient Advisor, I'm Libby Grywe. I started, built, and sold by 37, a 100% referral-only planning practice that I grew to seven figures as a solo advisor, all while working just 3 days a week and taking off 14 weeks a year so that I could lean into being a mom, a wife, a sister, daughter, friend, and frankly, a travel-obsessed human who loved taking vacations. And I'm here to walk alongside you and show you how to do exactly the same and to help you take immediate action on the most important strategies for scaling, organizing, and creating less stress and overwhelm in your business. We're about to transform your practice, so move over exhaustion and get out of the way, Advisor ADD. It is time to take that one right next step to build a business and a life that you love. So let's dive into this conversation with Stephen Jarvis, the guy who literally wrote the book on taxes. Stephen, I'm so glad you're back. I'm so excited to have you here again. And hey, huge congratulations on the book.
Well, Libby, thank you so much. It was a big deal to write a book on taxes, not something I grew up dreaming I would someday do.
Well, it's pretty fantastic. And it was funny because when I was reading it, you can see your personality and how you make taxes interesting come out. But before we get in, I have to ask you about your dedication. So one of the things that immediately caught my eye was the dedication to your family. I need to know, what is Team Honey Badger?
Oh, okay. I was a little worried where you're going. Like I'm not a super like emotional or personal person usually. And anyways, that I just wasn't sure what you were going to ask.
I was wondering what your dedication to me was, Stephen. I was wondering why I wasn't part of it.
Next time, version two, Libby.
Oh, good.
Team Honey Badger. Yeah, that's a great question. So it's been years ago now. Somehow we stumbled upon that we should have a family mascot. And we had been learning things about honey badgers, and honey badgers do hard stuff. There's some fantastic YouTube videos out there, narrations of honey badgers just doing wild things like, you know, fighting cobras. and so we're like, okay, if we're going to have a mascot, it's going to be the honey badger. And so we call our family Team Honey Badger. So we have all sorts of things that go along with that. In fact, if I tip my camera up here a little bit, the rack that holds my medals from all of my races. It says We Do Hard Things. It's got a picture of a honey badger on there, and then it says THB at the end, which is Team Honey Badger. So oh, we do, fantastic. As a family, we do a lot of stuff around that. And then it kind of gets woven into other things I do.
Okay. I love that. Cause I was curious. I'm like, I bet there's a really good kind of family story behind that. Okay. So what are some of the lessons that you give your children in the doing hard things?
It's literally a conversation we have quite often of some, I mean, we try to talk through things. I try to be empathetic, but there are some days where it's just like, you know what, we do hard things. And to give one example, 2 years ago, right as I decided, hey, I should quit my really stable job at a big public accounting firm where I'm about to be a partner and start a company and write a book and do all these other things, right about that time when I was, you know, doing major life changes, our house flooded and we couldn't live in our house for 6 months. And so we were bouncing between hotels and Airbnbs and all these different things. And for two kids, that was very challenging at times. And so again, there were some days where we tried to be empathetic and we tried to make it a better situation. And there were other days where he said, you know what, we're all a team here together and we do hard things.
I love it. Okay. So with doing hard things, writing a book is obviously a very, very hard thing. So one of the things, so when I was reading the book, I kept kind of bouncing back and forth between reading it through a lens of me as a person that files taxes, mm-hmm. and then me as a financial advisor, helping other people walk through tax returns and filing of taxes. So what made you write the book, and then who did you actually write it for?
Yeah, great question. So what made me write the book is that my co-author, PJ Denuso, who's a fantastic advisor, who's been committed to tax planning his whole career, he's been doing this for decades. I had a chance to meet him. He came highly recommended from people I know and trust. And it's been something that he has wanted to do for a long time, was to write a book on taxes that is meant for consumers. It kind of fills this gap of we're all expected to pay taxes, but nobody ever teaches us anything about taxes. And so he'd always wanted to do this. And he reached out to me and said, Stephen, I really have always wanted to do this, but he wanted somebody to do it with who had the tax background that I have, but also had some like social skills and an ability to communicate, which can be a bit challenging to find from CPAs. And so it worked out really well that PJ had a lot of passion for this and that I had the skills and knowledge to say, hey, this actually does sound exciting. So I got to give a lot of credit to PJ for really championing this, but then we leaned in and did it together.
Yeah. So when I was reading it, it was kind of funny because I was kind of oscillating back and forth between like advisor mindset or consumer mindset. Mm-hmm. It was interesting because I was thinking about how advisors can use this book to like in their business to actually help clients. Because, you know, we've talked about this the last time you were on the episode 40, we were talking about how it is really rare to find a fun CPA or a CPA that has a great personality and is super charismatic and can speak to taxes in a way that doesn't put you to sleep. And what I found so interesting going through the book was thinking through like, okay, if I were an advisor still in my business, how would I use this book? And I thought there was so much great language in here, like that as an advisor, you could take and share stories with clients or mm-hmm. just use some of this really colloquial language to take complex topics and make them super relatable or super easy to explain to clients. And I don't know if all advisors do this, but I definitely would find a book or two in my career that I'd be like, oh, this would be a great one for clients that like to read. Or for clients who were maybe kind of like, well, that seems like a really big strategy. I don't really understand it. Is that something that I can, you know, learn about or read about? Except, you know, as much as I loved when they would Google like different planning topics or planning ideas or strategies that I had for them, and they'd find all of the unique things that the internet has to offer, I would give them books. And this is one of those books. What struck me in this was this is something that I would probably order multiple copies of and keep on my shelf and hand to clients and be able to highlight and show them specific parts and specific things. So for me in my business, tax planning was the number one thing that I think really initially kind of started to separate us as like cream from the milk, right? Like this is something that we did. Now this is back in like 2004, you know, 500 years ago when we had to walk uphill both ways and all the things. But tax planning was really the thing that I felt really separated us from some of our peers or some of our competitors and put us in a class of our own when we would be analyzing and looking at tax returns and actually taking the time to slow down and really, really explain to clients that they did have some control over their taxes and that we needed to look through the, you know, I think you described it in the book as through the windshield, as opposed to just looking at it through the rearview mirror. And how do you, okay, how do we deal with what you had to do last year, but how do we actually plan for not just next tax season or the tax season after that, but also taxes long-term and in retirement. So in your opinion, when you think about advisors reading this book, how do you really kind of see them using it as a way to advance their own tax planning?
Libby, I think there's a couple of different ways. It's going to kind of be across a bit of a spectrum. I think you're absolutely right that this is a tool that advisors can use directly with their clients. Yes, the book talks about the authors, myself and PJ DeNuzzo, who is an advisor. He's based near Pittsburgh. So it certainly highlights our expertise, but really it's more of a handbook that anybody could use, whether they ever hear about me or PJ again, ever. And we intentionally wrote it so that you can take the book a chapter at a time, that you don't have to read it cover to cover to get value out of it. If to your point, if an advisor is working with a client, a particular strategy, and it's just not landing quite right of helping them understand it, it's great. Find that chapter in the book and have them hear it from a different perspective. So absolutely using it with clients, I think, is incredibly valuable. I think it helps advisors just learning different ways to explain these things. Even if they never show the book to a client, it's now you're hearing different ways to explain these same concepts so that you're really clearly getting the point across to a client. And then Libby, one that I did not expect, but I'm in full support of, I've had a couple of advisors reach out to me and say, hey, your book is so fantastic. This is all of my social media content for the next 6 months. And at first I was like, hold on a second.
Whoa,
like,
hey, whoa, you know, whoa.
You know what? It's full of great ideas and these are going to help people. And that was really the intention behind the book, is to help as many taxpayers as possible. So please, as long as you have purchased the book, please use it for your social media content ideas or your newsletter ideas. I'll take credit where it seems relevant, but these aren't proprietary secrets. Share these with your clients and prospects. Help them understand these things.
Yeah. Well, and I loved it. So of course, anytime I get a book that has a table of contents, you know, the first thing I do is flip to it and start reading through. So I love that the book, you know, was broken down into different parts. So there being, okay, there's all of these myths and then there's all of these, you know, building blocks. And then tax strategies to avoid getting killed on taxes, which I love the name of the book, by the way. I think that's fantastic. But so as I'm, of course, like, ooh, tax strategies, like how do I, you know, again, thinking through like me, like selfishly, right? Like, well, is there anything in here for me? It was very fascinating. And I don't want to tell anyone listening because I want them to get the book and to read it themselves. But I almost fell out of my chair when I saw that there was a section in here on annuities. I was excited by that because, you know, annuities are one of those, like, it's like a very dirty word sometimes in this industry.
We can't talk
very
about that.
Polarizing. And I almost was like, oh, all the broker dealer people will cheer and highlight and hand that part. So I thought that was fascinating, but there were some things in here. So I like to think of myself as a pretty educated person when it comes to taxes. There were some things in here that I had never heard before, and I found particularly fascinating, specifically the Augusta rule. I had never heard that. And I am already like calculating in my head, like, how can I make that part of my 2023 strategy? So I don't know if you would just share, because I thought it was so unique and kind of interesting and maybe something that most advisors had never heard before. But if you would, and this would be one of those things that I would throw out in a meeting to clients that I knew would probably never have a use for this. This would probably never apply to them, but dang, would it make me sound interesting and smart? And it would be a story that they would remember.
Yeah. The Augusta rule is a fun one because it highlights several things for me in the tax code, in that it's a really good reminder that every tax rule has some kind of lobby behind it. Like, people need to stop looking for logic in the tax code. It doesn't exist, because the Augusta rule was literally named for Augusta, Georgia, the home of the Masters. Not a big golf guy, but that's where the Masters golf tournament is every year. And this rule was created, I'm sure, by somebody's friend who lived on the golf course to say, hey, wait, we've got this huge event that happens once a year. How cool would it be if I could rent out my house on the golf course just for that 1 week and not have to pay taxes on that income? Like, there's no logic behind that except for a very specific group of people. But sure enough, they made this rule called, now it's referred to as the Augusta rule, where you can rent out, the IRS calls it your dwelling unit. There's some technical definitions to that, but basically think of your personal residence, although it can technically be a vacation home. We don't have enough time to get into that. But essentially what it comes down to is you can rent out your personal residence for up to 14 days and not have to pay income tax on that income. And what's great about this is you still report it to the IRS. So this isn't smoke and mirrors where we hope when they don't notice. You report it on Schedule E, and then you just have an offset that says, basically I'm not gonna pay tax on this. Another thing I really like about the Augusta rule is that it's a good example of tax planning strategies that can sound really exciting, but might not make sense in practice. Because it's there's so few truly tax-free income sources out there that people can get really excited and say, oh, we should all run out and do this. And I definitely work with people who take advantage of this, and it is a very real thing, and you can get tax-free money. But we got to make sure it makes sense. Like, if you're going to go out and try to list your home on Airbnb for just 2 weeks of the year to try to get random strangers to come in and stay a week in April and a week in October, it's probably not worth the lift behind the effort. But especially for business owners who are going to hold board meetings or team retreats or do other things associated with their business at their personal home, great. Now we're getting tax-free income on our personal, on the personal side, and we're still getting to deduct the expense on the business side. We're essentially taking tax-free distributions from our business. So there is a set of circumstances where this makes a lot of sense. It is not a universally great principle for everyone out there, but when it makes sense, hey, that's 14 days of tax-free income.
Yeah. Okay. So I thought that was really interesting, because I'm like, okay, if that were me, I would be like giving examples, because I always loved kind of telling clients something they'd never heard before. And even if it didn't necessarily apply to them, like, I can't tell you how many times I talked about like net unrealized appreciation or like bizarro stuff that just articulated knowledge and was something unique enough that they would remember. But for advisors listening, what I heard reading this, and tell me if I'm wrong, was that, hey, I should be hosting team retreats at my place and my business could be renting out my house. Am I understanding that correctly? Or is that just me like coming up with tax-free income for myself?
No, that's absolutely what it is. And then again, this isn't smoke and mirrors. You go out and you find comparable venues to get market rates so that you know how much you should be charging your business. Because you probably, well, Libby, I haven't been to your house. You probably aren't going to charge your business $10,000 a day for the event space. Maybe. No judgment here, but you can go out and find market comparables. I mean, you need to make sure that you're documenting the business purpose of the meeting. This can't just be, we had people over for drinks one night, and so I'm going to charge it to the business. But if you have strategic planning, if you have annual retreats, I mean, there are plenty of circumstances where this fits.
Yeah. Okay. So for advisors listening, one of the things that I feel like was a hard barrier for me in my business was, you know, clients constantly would say like, oh, well, I've got a tax person, or I got a person that I use. For some reason, there was like a barrier for switch. How do advisors find a really good tax preparer that also kind of doubles as an advisor, like a tax advisor, like someone who is going to be, you know, looking through the windshield out at a longer scope, thinking more like a financial advisor and CPA? How do we find those people? Because I know for me, it felt like a unicorn.
Well, Libby, not to pat myself on the back too much, but it is a little bit of like trying to find a unicorn. Because literally that's how retirement tax services came about, is because a couple of advisors that we're both friends with over at the Perfect RIA, they came to me and said, hey, we're always looking for CPAs who will work proactively with advisors. And not only are we looking for that, we have hundreds and thousands of advisors reach out to us saying, how do I find a CPA who will work proactively with me? And they tried to find one and they couldn't. And they said, let's create a company to specifically do that. And I said, guys, that sounds super simple. Like, that has to exist. Like, we're not going to start a company off of that basic of an idea. And they said, okay, great. You go find where those CPAs exist and we'll leave you alone. And when I went and started trying to find how an advisor could track down a CPA who's going to consistently work proactively with advisors, I started to see the vision of why retirement tax services was so needed.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you brought that up. So, you know, in our quest for finding, and it was interesting because we just didn't have like a good series of Like, what are the right questions to ask? Like, how can I tell if they're proactive? How can I tell if they are thinking long-term? How can we, you know, other than kind of really, really going through returns and navigating and kind of butting heads with CPAs constantly over clients' returns, it's such an interesting thing. And I think that's really kind of how I found you. I don't remember how long ago that was, maybe a year plus ago now, going, oh, this would have been super freaking cool. And then to see what you guys have done with retirement tax services, and this is like not a commercial for retirement tax services, but I'm totally turning it into one. So my bad. But just stick with me here, listeners, because, it is something really cool. So one of the things that I envisioned for the Efficient Advisor and for the Efficient Advisor community was really to be a hub of resources that advisors could come to and say, okay, I need a blah, blah, blah. I need someone to help me recruit licensed candidates for different jobs within my business. I need a place to find a really good payroll service that's inexpensive and gets what we do in a business. I need my own personal CPA. I need a CPA that is proactive, that can work and help me understand and expand the tax planning within my practice. And I think that's really kind of how you and I met. So while we're on the topic, and then we'll come back, because I have a few more questions from the book, but why don't you share just a little bit for people who don't know what RTS is? Mm-hmm. I personally, every time I see you guys expanding what you're doing, I'm like, oh, that's cool. Oh gosh, if I would have had that, you know, 10, 15 years ago, my knowledge level in taxes, I mean, I really had to scratch and claw my way to figuring out how to add value to clients, especially clients with what seems like at face value, a super simple kind of traditional 2 employees that get paid W-2. Like, how do I really add value to them? And it took me a long freaking time. And then, like I said, when I go through this book, I'm like, oh, look at all the stuff that I didn't know that I didn't know. So tell us a little bit about RTS and how you help advisors kind of fast track that, that tax knowledge, and like, what are all of the things that you guys do?
Well, we'll see how much of that I can cover.
Like you'll a have super low. This is a 7-hour podcast. So
you tell me what I miss. So Retirement Tax Services was started to transform the way advisors deliver value on tax planning, which is not a small goal, because we see so much need for tax planning in clients' lives that they're just not consistently getting. And so that to your point, that's evolved over time, and it keeps evolving of how we're able to do that. But currently, there's a couple of different ways that advisors come to us for help on transforming the way they deliver value. So one is what we call our Essentials membership. This is where advisors can come to us and get resources, newsletters, webinars, checklists, reference guides. I know a lot of people in your audience have gotten the 37-point checklist from us on reviewing a tax return. And for people listening, you can reach out to Libby. She can get you a link for that. But we're trying to provide all these things that speak to how do I do this in practice. I don't have proprietary tax planning strategies. Like I don't have like some magic box where it's like, here's something you've never heard of before. What I do is that I could constantly work with advisors, and then I myself work with clients so that I know what works in practice, so that I can take these ideas and share with advisors. Here's the process. Here's the checklist. Here's the handout that you use to get clients to take action. Because at the end of the day, that's what we care about, is advisors taking action and clients taking action, so that over time, over a person's lifetime or the lifetime of their wealth, that they're not getting killed on taxes. And that takes a proactive and intentional approach.
Okay, I love that. And so the Essentials, is that a monthly? Do I get something from you guys monthly? Is it an annual? Like, talk to me about kind of what exactly that membership entails.
Yeah, so it's an annual subscription that you can pay for annually or monthly. It's a growing library of content. So as you join, you get everything we've already done. So at this point, over 2 dozen or so newsletters we've put out, all of our previous webinar recordings, all the different handouts and different things that we have put out for people. You get everything we've already done, as well as access to as these things come out in the future, whether that's our monthly newsletters and webinars or other handouts and reference guides that we're putting out. We have a forum for our community that is obviously very tax focused. We give our members first access to new things that we're doing, like the Retirement Tax Services Tax Planning Summit that we're doing this fall. Those are all things that we always bring to our members first, as far as those opportunities and exclusive pricing on those types of things.
Okay, fantastic. So not only do I get the new stuff, but I get everything that you've ever done kind of like all bundled together. Okay, super, super cool. I think that's really cool. Okay, so in that community, we've got a forum, we've got all of the things. So one of the things that you mentioned, and this is where I feel like, okay, if I were to join or I as an advisor, if I'm wanting to learn more about how do I add value to clients through their tax return, through helping them find more opportunities. One of the things that you said in the book, and I kind of want you to elaborate on, is that most people, so even W-2 kind of super simple, seems like H&R Block could, you know, do the deal. Most people pay too much in taxes. And that's a bold statement, right? That most people pay, and I believe they use the word way too much in taxes. So tell me more, like how can an advisor take that pretty bold statement and translate that into adding value to their clients?
That's a great question. One of our favorite things to say at RTS is that you should tip your server, not the IRS. And so what way too much in taxes is might be a little bit subjective for each person, but a dollar more than you technically have to pay, that's too much. And so it's definitely a spectrum. I think people get hung up on these like crazy examples of like Peter Thiel having a multi-billion-dollar Roth account. Like that is not the goal of what we're trying to accomplish at RTS. I'm sorry, I can't make that happen for you. What we're focused on is making consistent intentional actions over time so that over your lifetime, you aren't getting killed on taxes. So that doesn't mean that for a W-2 employee that every single year, I'm going to be able to say, here's how we save you $10,000 in taxes. But it does mean that we can put together a plan where we're identifying common errors and mistakes to avoid, where we're planning for the future and taking intentional actions to understand what tax bracket we're in now and what we might likely be in the future. So we can make decisions about whether this is making pre-tax contributions or Roth contributions or doing Roth conversions or funding an HSA or making sure that we don't use the funds in our HSA and we let those grow tax-free and we pay for those medical expenses out of our cash account. Or it can be even things of helping clients adjust their withholding so they don't have a giant surprise bill at tax time every year and that they're avoiding underpayment penalties. Even those simple things provide a tremendous amount of value to the client because while money is emotional, taxes are exponentially more so. People will ask me sometimes how I can stay out of politics spending so much time on taxes. But the great news is when I talk to people individually, everybody wants to pay less in taxes. They might have different opinions on how much someone else should pay, right. But when it comes to them personally, I've talked to people all the way across the political spectrum. They personally want to pay less in taxes, and that's what I focus on.
Okay, I love that. And so in kind of your opinion, when do you think is the best time for advisors to be talking to their clients about taxes and tax? Okay, so, well, before I ask that question, I was thinking about the 37-point checklist that you have, and I'll make sure I drop the link for that at RTS and all the things in the show notes here. But going through that with a client, even so something that I was like, oh, you know what? I wonder if we really did enough of this is when we would do conversions or backdoor Roths, or we would execute kind of crazy strategies from clients. I don't know if we did enough of in our practice of going back and looking at their returns and always making sure that all of those things got executed properly. Yeah. So I thought that was kind of one of the things from the checklist that I thought was interesting. I hope that's not a trade secret that I'm sharing on the checklist, but going back through and just making sure that anything that you did last year was indeed done properly. You know, we always just kind of trusted that our clients or the CPA would do it unless they called and had questions. And we talked to a lot of CPAs about backdoor Roths and all those crazy things. But when do you suggest that advisors talk with their clients about taxes and tax planning? Is it during tax preparation season? Is it towards the end of the year and we're talking about harvesting and all of the things? Is there sort of an ideal cadence that you guys have found works best for advisors in being able to loop that value into their clients?
So Libby, where I'm going to start is that tax planning has to be a year-round conversation. And that's not to say that it needs to come up every week or every month, maybe not even every quarter, but you need to reinforce to your clients that we always want to be thinking about taxes. So it cannot just be a February and March conversation. Now we want it to be intentional. We want it to fit it to your point. We want it to fit into the other things that an advisor is doing. Cause while I'm the tax guy, I know that taxes aren't the only piece of the puzzle. So I know a lot of advisors will structure their surge meetings intentionally around tax planning specific times in the spring as returns are getting drafted and getting ready to get filed. And then the fall, as we're getting ready for the end of the year and can make any last changes we want before the calendar turns over. The biggest thing is that it is intentional. Libby, I know you're huge on processes. And so where I see advisors who are the most successful with this is that they have their whole calendar for the year mapped out that, mm-hmm. okay, so we're recording this in March and it's going to air in April. These are times when, rock star level would be that in March and early April, you're reviewing draft returns for your clients, which is very hard to do if you don't work with RTS. That's something that we do for our premier members, but it can be very hard to develop that relationship. But to your point of reviewing to make sure that the strategies you worked with clients on actually got reported correctly, how much more powerful is that if you're reviewing that before it actually gets filed? And so now instead of amending a return, you're helping the return get filed correctly. So there's definitely some things that can be going on this time of year, but then setting the stage for, hey, after your taxes are filed, we're going to ask for copies of all your tax returns so that we can do this 37-point checklist. We can deliver value for you, making sure the client understands what happens internally versus when it's going to come up in your client meetings. Your client's understanding when you're going to address it can actually help avoid or prevent a lot of kind of one-off questions. So if your clients know, hey, in September, Libby already told me that we're going to go over tax planning. Unless something really earth-shattering comes up, they're going to say, oh, well, I had a question, but I'll take care of it in September when Libby brings this up. But we want the clients to be thinking about this as a year-round conversation so that if things do come up, they tell us about it when we can still do something about it. And so that when they get that letter from the IRS, when their kid moves out unexpectedly and is no longer a dependent, when they're going to move out of state, when these things come up, that they're proactively saying, hey, Libby, this thing changed in my life. What's the tax ramification going to be? Because that gives us a chance to actually plan for it.
Okay, I love that. So I want to back up to something you said a second ago. You said something about your premier members. You guys are reviewing draft returns. Did I hear you correctly when you said that?
Yeah, I guess I did kind of slip that one in. So we talked about the Essentials membership. We also work with advisors in what we call our Premier membership. And this is essentially a partnership or a collaboration. That's where the RTS team is doing hands-on tax planning and tax preparation for advisors' clients. And part of the reason I didn't lead with that, Libby, is because at this point, it's really only an opportunity for Essentials members to upgrade into Premier. What we've found is that our best Premier members come from people who have already been engaged with what we're doing. And so Premier is not available just directly to the public. It's offered to our existing Essentials members or people who are joining Essentials. But for people who are part of that Premier program, when we draft a return, we're doing this literally right now as we record this podcast. We draft the return and then it goes to the advisor and the client both. And we let the advisor weigh in and say, hey, was there anything else that happened during the year that we should be aware of and should get reflected here? And it's a huge value add for the client.
Yeah, that's huge. So that's why I'm like, okay, I heard you say that. And I'm like, this is news to me. So I thought that was extremely interesting. Okay, so I can become an Essentials member and then I could maybe someday, if I make the cut, get to the Premier level and have you guys actually do draft returns preparation, kind of the whole shebang. That is a freaking fantastic idea.
Well, thank you.
Love it. Okay. I'm all excited. Well, awesome. Well, I will definitely make sure that people know where to get copies of Don't Get Killed on Taxes, the book that you just wrote. And congratulations again, by the way, super exciting. And I've got my signed copy here and I've read it. I've dog-eared it. I've highlighted it. And I think advisors should get multiple copies that they can highlight and dog ear and hand out to clients, or at least loan out to clients and show them from another professional's perspective why this makes a lot of sense for clients, and that these strategies aren't just something that you make up in your head and the guy at H&R Block fights you on. I will also make sure people have access to the 37-point checklist so that they can start to develop processes in their practice around how do I add value to every single type of client through looking at returns. Because a lot of people get tax returns and they're like, okay, cool. But like, now what do I actually do with them once I have them in my hands? So I think that's an exceptional tool. And I will make sure that I drop a link to RTS so people can get into your ecosphere and start learning about some of the apparently really cool services that you guys are continuing to roll out.
Well, Libby, if I can just add one more to that list of really exciting things.
I love links. I love show note links. Bring it on.
Yep. So coming up here, depending on when this releases, within the next day or two, we're actually doing a live webinar for our audience. And we would love to invite your audience as well. This webinar is going to be myself and Micah Shalansky, who is an advisor who currently actively practicing. He also runs the Perfect RIA. And we're going to be, I mean, to your question earlier of when should advisors be doing this? How should they do this in practice? Mike and I are essentially going to go through, okay, for the next quarter, here are the tax planning activities that you should be doing, what they look like, how you can incorporate this into your practice. We're going to specifically talk about how we use that 37-point checklist in practice. And so it's going to be a great opportunity for advisors to lean in and say, okay, this is what I'm going to do. This is how I'm going to take action. So if you go to retirementtaxservices.com, you can get signed up for that webinar. Since you're part of Libby's audience, we want to make sure you get value for all the great things that she does. So use promo code Libby, L-I-B-B-Y, when you check out so that you can get the webinar for less than half the face value.
Ooh, so, I love being a good discount. Thanks, Stephen. I appreciate that.
Of course.
Well, good. Well, yeah. Okay. So I'll make sure I drop that in there with the promo code. Thank you for that. I know, hey, anytime I can save a few bucks on something really valuable, I'm here for it. I'm here for all the discounts. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time today. I'm excited for advisors to listen to this, to learn about the Augusta rule for themselves and figure out how they can weave that in, but really to get their hands on your books and just to get into the RTS ecosphere. And really, I found you on LinkedIn and I love, love, love your LinkedIn content. So I'll make sure to drop your LinkedIn profile in the show notes as well.
Awesome. Libby, thanks so much for having me. This has been great.
Awesome. Have an amazing rest of your week. You guys, I'm not lying when I say Stephen and PJ's book is really good. I'm going to link it in the show notes for you, like I mentioned, but seriously, I wasn't just blowing smoke at Stephen when I said I'd buy several copies and use them with clients. This is actually something that I did all the time. I would read a book, I'd mark it up, I'd transfer those markings to several copies of the book, and then give the books to clients when we were presenting a complex strategy or introducing an idea that, you know, maybe if they Googled it, they'd get super mixed results. I mean, have you been on LinkedIn? People argue over the color of the sky very passionately, and it's enough to confuse any client. So there's something about just seeing it in a book that gives it authority. So do that with this book or any other book that you think would help educate your clients about a particular topic. Do I want to help Stephen sell more books? Yeah, sure. But I'm never going to support something I don't believe in. The relationship capital that I have with you guys, the listeners, is just way, way, way too important to me. And I really do believe in what RTS is doing. I don't remember if I mentioned this in the episode, but part of what I envision for the Efficient Advisor is to have a resource hub for you guys. And I'm currently building this out. And kind of what I picture is a place where you can go for trusted industry-specific resources, things that I have vetted or things that I used myself in my own business or things that I have, you know, I work with tons of advisors in our coaching programs and things that have really worked for them that come highly, highly, highly recommended. So I'm picturing things like payroll services. I mean, I heart Gusto. If you haven't used Gusto for payroll, super, super, super inexpensive, but super awesome, amazing employee portal, like all the things. But I'm thinking like industry specific recruiters that I have used and highly recommend. Things like retirement tax services, maybe, I don't know, certain software companies, or I'm also picturing I have a lot of, you know, coaches that do different things, productivity coaches, mindset coaches, coaches that have really complementary skill sets to what I do that help financial advisors, but maybe it's not the stuff that I specialize in. And something that you will find out from me if you ever coach with me, that if what you are looking for is not in my sweet spot, I will more than happily send you off to the right resource. I am not here for the money grab, right? I am here to make sure that you guys get exactly what you need in order to build the business and the life that you love. But as I build this out, just know that only super cool services are going to make the list. It's like I said, it's not a money grab. I'm never ever going to partner with somebody or recommend a product or service that is going to do nothing but enhance the lives of advisors. But do check out RTS. I've got the link for the webinar with the code. I think he said Libby. I'll double check that before I put it in the show notes. And he did share with me after we stopped recording that the Libby code is a 50% off code, y'all. So I've got the link for the checklist in the show notes as well. Literally all the things. Oh, and my offer still stands on the checklist too. If you buy the RTS 37-point checklist through the link that I have for you, email me your receipt at efficientadvisor@gmail.com and I will send you my personal 15-point checklist that we used in my and for, you know, my tax return process. Let me try to say that 10 times fast. But I will send you what I used, and it's a little different than Steven's. So between the two of us, you're getting like a consolidated 44-point checklist, 45-point checklist. A couple of things overlap, but there are quite a few things on there that are slightly different. And so my offer still stands on that, and I'd love to chat more about this and everything else over in the Efficient Advisor community on Facebook. I'd love for you to join us there if you haven't already. And I also hang out on LinkedIn. So if we're not connected on LinkedIn, please, please, please send me a request. DM me questions. Tell me what you'd like to hear on future podcast episodes. I just love, love, love connecting with you guys through the direct message feature of LinkedIn. I get direct messages on Facebook, but that's not exactly my sweet spot. I would much prefer you contact me through LinkedIn, or you can post stuff in the Efficient Advisor community and get feedback from me, feedback from everybody else. People from my team will chip in, links, resources, etc. So anyways, I hope you guys have an amazing rest of your week. Mm-hmm.